The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org. So I want to talk a little bit about this whole notion of resistance. And I'll start with this short little story that comes from the suttas from the time of the Buddha. So before he was awakened, so when he was just, an unawakened person, maybe like us here, that he encountered these people who were quarreling, a big fight that had happened, that there's one community that lived on the river, and I think it was like they were on one side, I don't know exactly how it was. There's these two communities that lived along the river, and they had irrigation into their agriculture, what they were growing. And then in a year of a drought, you can imagine what happened. A lot of fighting happened, and they almost came onto the brink of war, these communities, over water, right? Here we are thousands of years ago. I can still imagine something like this happening now. And so when he saw all the conflict and a war about to happen, he describes it in this short little passage here. He says, "I will speak of my dismay in the way that I was shaken, seeing people thrashing about like fish in little water. I became afraid. Then I saw an arrow here, hard to see, embedded in the heart." This is really fascinating, I think, where he's talking about how he's afraid by seeing all this conflict out there. But then he realizes, oh, actually, there's this internal conflict that is maybe even worse, or a source of it, or supporting it, or is related to it. So it starts by seeing what's happening out there, and then he sees this arrow embedded in the heart. I like this kind of expression, or this vision maybe. And we could say that this arrow embedded in the heart is the resistance. It's this way in which there's this sense of no. And I want to unpack this because I don't want us to feel like, oh yeah, we have to say yes to everything. That's ridiculous. But just what is this contribution to our life and contribution to our sense of freedom and peace and ease? The way that we're saying no, that we're resisting so many things so often that we don't even recognize it. So I don't want to say that this is a problem. I mean, resistance is, of course, it's a natural human reaction. It's mostly done without our knowing it. And it's this way in which we don't like discomfort. We don't like fear. We don't like vulnerability. Feeling out of control, all of these things. The list could go on, right? So, of course, there's a sense of resistance to this. And it's a way in which we're trying to push things away or avoid it or control it or something like this. But this resistance, this way in which we're trying to protect ourselves from the discomfort or whatever it might be, actually becomes a source of difficulty, a source of suffering, the resistance itself. So we have the experience, and then we have our reaction to that experience, and our reaction to this experience is a source of suffering, independent of what's actually happening. So this resistance, it can show up in a number of different ways. And I pointed to this a little bit in the guided meditation. It can show up like just this mental way, this way in which sometimes our minds just wants to avoid the experience. So we create a lot of stories or fantasies or narratives. And some of these narratives are really unhelpful, filled with blame, just getting filled with rage and anger towards others. That's not a way in which we can find freedom. Or it's a lot of inner critic for ourselves, kind of putting ourselves down and feeling like, oh, I can't do this right. Or other people seem to be able to do this, whatever this is, and I somehow seem like I can't do it. There's this way in which we're trying to rationalize or minimize or intellectualize or blame, this way that we're trying to, in some ways, this is an avoidance of what actually is what's happening, this sense of vulnerability or this sense of not being able to control things or just being uncomfortable. And so we end up having a relationship with the story, the narrative that we created may have some elements of truth. Maybe it's all true. Maybe it's not true. But the point is that we get all tangled up in this and just later we discover, oh yeah, this maybe was just a way for me to get away from this uncomfortable feeling I was having, some fear I was having. So that's one way we might do some of this mental avoiding. Another way in which I've done a lot of this kind of thing is not this particular vignette here, but just this idea of planning. Like maybe there's a little bit of fear of like, okay, I'm not sure that this I'll be able to handle whatever's going to happen here. So I got to just plan for all contingency things, whatever's going to happen. Or it's amazing, right? Just like how much planning. Okay, well, I got to make sure to remember to bring this and then pick that up and say this and don't do this. Like it's quite something how much planning we can do. Wow, we. And maybe a concrete example is maybe you feel it could be that maybe you feel like your job feels threatened, or maybe there's a health condition or something that you don't know the results of, you might be uncomfortable with. And instead of like acknowledging the fear, we just launch into frantic planning. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't plan. I am saying that there's a way that the planning just has this momentum and that itself starts to become a way in which our life kind of gets small and constricted around we're just doing all this planning instead of to doing the planning that's needed. Okay, yep, I'm going to think about if we have to find a new job, I'm going to look at my CV, my resume, I'm going to think about some contacts, see if there's something I need to do, and then maybe write it down, have a plan. You know, and all of that maybe takes a few hours, but instead we're spending weeks just going over this again and again and again. So there's this way that this planning or thinking about it leaves us exhausted and also disconnected from the fear, what's actually underneath it. So the fear is still there, bubbling around there and fueling this avoidance. And so there might be some protest. So I just want to clarify, we do need to do some planning, but it's amazing how that can just slip into just nonstop planning. This is what I myself have done quite a bit of. So that may be a way in which the resistance shows up as like an intellectual exercise or an intellectual event. But there's also a way in which the avoidance or the resistance shows up in an emotional way. We might feel some fear. Let's say that we get in a near accident when we're driving. And this, that's like this big jolt of fear when you're in the car or something. And then you just feel like, I didn't get hit. And you're trying to like minimize it for yourself. You're not really acknowledging it. But then you come home and then you kick the dog and yell at your partner and, these types of things. You know, whatever it is, you're like this, it shows up in other ways and just maybe just general irritability instead of just recognize like, oh my gosh, that was so scary. My heart is pounding. And maybe even like pulling over and allowing yourself to kind of like get collected and in a way to like breathe through it and experience it and be with it and honor what happened instead of just trying to shove it down and then go and keep on driving. And then some of this emotion shows up in other ways. Or maybe there's a way that something terrible is happening, very uncomfortable is happening. Again, I'll just use an example, maybe from work. Maybe we've realized that, I want to change my job. I have this terrible boss, so I feel like I'm treated disrespectfully and not using my skills or whatever, for whatever reason. But we might escape through substances or scrolling the internet or doom scrolling or Netflixing or, you know, whatever it might be. There's this way in which we kind of, just to avoid this fear of needing to change jobs or... There's so many different fears that can show up. I wish I had better examples. But I think you can get the sense of what I'm pointing to. So even if it's not like substances or the internet, maybe there's this way that we get into our relationships where we're just so focused on trying to fix somebody, and as a way to kind of like ignore or resist or avoid what's happening with ourselves. Or maybe it just shows up with having our shoulders up near our ears, and this way in which we find ourselves with our hands clenched. So this physical way in which this resistance might show up. So again, I want to emphasize this is like perfectly natural. I don't want to say that there's anything wrong with doing this. I mean, our brains are wired to protect us from perceived threats and things that are uncomfortable or that we have some fear around, whether the fear is it doesn't actually matter what the source of the fear is. It doesn't matter if we feel like, that's not logical or something like that. That has absolutely no bearing here whatsoever. It's just the experience of fear, and then we have resistance to it. It doesn't matter what we're afraid of. And this resistance can show up in so many ways. So I talked about maybe this fear of discomfort, or maybe even some desire for control, or maybe some even this way in which our sense of self feels threatened. Some of the ideas we have about ourselves, like I'm a good person, and we can't understand like why we were yelling so much at that random person who took your parking spot or something. Or like why sometimes it's amazing how it's, I'm going like this with my hand because on my phone, sometimes I don't, not quite sure how this happens, but some, like a video shows up. I guess I don't know why the algorithm thinks I want to see this, but it's, just a really bad behavior of people yelling at each other and, you know, just like, cussing and just all this terrible stuff. I imagine that somebody is intoxicated or something. Otherwise, this wouldn't be happening to this extreme, I want to think. There was a reason why I was telling this. Oh, I was saying that we have this idea of, I want to have some peacefulness in my life, and I'm working to have peacefulness in my life. Then why am I watching videos that are like the opposite of peacefulness, right? That are just encouraging agitation. Why am I reading these news articles again and again that are just encouraging this agitation? So there's this way in which this resistance shows up, not only to fear, but to some of these other things about this, when our stories feel threatened, or when we recognize that we have so much less control than we think we do. And so what is some of the costs of this resistance is that this, I almost like embarrassed to say this, and I think I said this last week too, that what we resist persists. It's this cute little saying, but it turns out to be true. There's this way in which, like with the planning, in order to, because we have fear of some event that's going to come up, it's the planning is like always bringing that event up in our minds. And then like, oh my gosh, this might happen. Okay, so I got a plan for that. And like, oh yeah, this variation might happen, so I got a plan for that. So there's this way in which we're fueling it, the more that we're resisting it, instead of just allowing the experience to arise and feel the uncomfortableness and maybe the fear of it, and to be with that and to acknowledge it and honor it as best we can. So what is this alternative then to resistance? We could say it's this book Tara Brach has that came out, 15 years ago, quite some time ago, called Radical Acceptance. And somebody gave this book to me. This was before I'd even heard of Buddhism. Is that right? And I remember thinking like, radical acceptance. Like that just felt like such a far-fetched idea. But when we start to really look into all the ways in which we're saying no, that we don't actually have to say no. We're saying no to things that are already here. They're already happening. And yet we have this idea that if I avoid them or distract myself, it'll make that go away. So if I have some internal experience, it's going to make that external experience change or something. Of course it doesn't work that way. But somehow we have this idea that it does. So an alternative to resistance is this path of radical acceptance, which isn't like this passive resignation. It's not allowing yourself to be just walked all over or ignored or being a doormat or something like that. And it's not like not liking what we don't like. It's not that either. It's about cultivating just a willingness to be with our experience. Just a willingness to be with our experience. And you could say that's exactly what meditation practice is. It's just as best we can, we're meeting our experience. Where we often are bringing attention to the breath, to the experience of breathing, just to allow the mind and the body to settle. Otherwise, the mind is often just chasing whatever it's chasing. So meditation is often just we first allow some settling to happen. And then can we meet whatever the experience is? And in the guided meditation I did earlier, I encouraged you to just turn towards any sense of resistance. And maybe it was obvious or maybe it wasn't there. But this idea of radical acceptance is maybe to just turn towards like, oh yeah, resistance is here. And it feels like this. It feels like some tightness in the chest and there's this maybe a little growl, like, you know, this like I wish it weren't here kind of experience. So is there this way that we can recognize our inner life, recognize our emotions, including fear, without insisting that they be different? It's a natural part of being human is to have fear. And so in Tara Brach's book, in her recommendation of how to practice this way, which turns out to be enormously powerful, is not something that we have to do during meditation. We can just be doing in the midst of our daily life. Is she has these two questions. What is happening inside me right now? So this could be done while you're, you know, at the grocery store, while you're doing dishes, while you're driving, while you're at work, whatever. What is happening inside me right now? So that is just to shift towards your inner experience and just observe your present moment experience. Just notice. You don't have to do anything about it, but just notice. So often we're disconnected, not always, but so often we're disconnected from what's really happening. So one, what's happening inside me right now? And then two, can it be okay? Or she uses different, can I let this be? She says, can I let this be? Can it just be there? The anger, the sadness, the fear, whatever it is. Can I let this be? So this is a way that just softens our resistance and maybe it just allows things to be as they are. And then things unfold in a different way. If we're resisting them, as I said, what we resist persists. So there's a way in which uncomfortable experiences get, they increase in intensity and in duration. So they get more uncomfortable and they last longer. the more we resist them. So if we can allow them to be, they will arise, they will be experienced, they'll be known, and they'll pass away. That's their nature. I can't tell you how long this whole process is going to be, but what happens often is when we resist, it arises, it starts to pass away. Oh, and then it arises again, starts to pass away. Then it arises again and starts to pass away. The more that we're kind of like engaging with it. So there's this way that maybe just by, if we can remember, repeatedly asking ourselves, what does she have here? What is happening inside me right now? And can I let this be? For me, I like the expression, can this be okay? That's just a little bit more my language. Of course, you're welcome to make this your own. So I would say this, practice then, just the notice the signs of resistance. I asked you guys during the guided meditation to turn towards it. Maybe that's an inkling of something that you can notice when you're not meditating, when just in daily life or whatever's happening. So pay just this paying attention to the way that your mind or your emotions or your body is saying no. Just acknowledge it. Oh yeah, this is resistance. It's happening right here. We don't have to resist the resistance. I like this saying. We don't have to make it go away. It's like, oh yeah, resistance is here. Can that be okay? Can that be okay? And then it can be enormously helpful just to feel in the body what's happening. Maybe there's a resistance, but what else is happening? Pressure against the body where you're sitting. Maybe the feeling of clothing against the skin, feeling the feet on the ground. Because this neutral experiences interrupts the momentum of whatever's happening, the resistance or whatever else it is that's happening. And then is there a way that you can just have some patience with this and some kindness? It's not going to, resistance isn't automatically going to go away. But what happens is we start to be able to meet some uncomfortableness, including fear, just a little bit more, then we start to have more confidence. And then the more confidence, our capacity to be with uncomfortableness grows, and then our life unfolds differently. Just start to have more peace and ease and well-being in our life. And of course, we're going to, you know, fall back into our patterns and have resistance. And but because it's a natural part of the human experience, but it doesn't have to be like our default, so that we're avoiding or exacerbating or just not being with our experience. So by learning to recognize and work with experience skillfully, we open ourselves up to more joy, to more peace, and to more well-being. And I'll close with this poem by Dorothy Hunt. And it's called Peace is This Moment Without Judgment. Like the title kind of says it all. But it's by Dorothy Hunt. Peace is This Moment Without Judgment. Do you think peace requires an end to war? Or tigers eating only vegetables? Does peace require an absence from your boss, your spouse, yourself? Do you think peace will come some other place than here, some other time than now, in some other heart than yours? Peace is this moment without judgment. That is all. This moment in the heart space where everything that is welcome. Peace is this moment without thinking that it should be some other way, that you should feel some other thing, that your life should unfold according to your plans. Peace is this moment without judgment, this moment in the heart space where everything that is welcome. So with that, I'd like to give an opportunity for you guys for a second time to get together and talk about maybe what I just shared. And so maybe the question you can say is, what supports you in like in the softening resistance Are there practices, people, or reminders that help you to stay open when you can feel this sense of no? Yeah, maybe I'll just leave it like that. What supports you? And maybe to meet the resistance, can you be okay just with the resistance? Because that is the softening of it, right? If you can, it doesn't matter what we're allowing to be, it's the allowing that's important. So even if we're allowing resistance, it's the allowing that's important. This, the object that we're allowing, that actually doesn't matter so much. It's just the activity of allowing. Okay, so what supports you in softening resistance? Are there things that practices or people or reminders or things that you do that help you to allow to be with things as they are? And I'll give you guys maybe like 16, 17 minutes. It's up to you if you want to be in the same groups or in different groups. And again, I think there'll be some groups of four and groups of three. And I think you all know not to give advice and all this type of stuff. We're just creating opportunities for people to discuss and be heard and be seen without everybody. We don't all have to come to the same conclusions or have the same ideas. But, okay, thanks. Okay, so now I'd like to just open it up to see if there's any general comments. What was that like to explore resistance, both in the guided meditation, the experience of it, and then to maybe just to hear about resistance, the different ways it shows up, and this whole idea of not resisting resistance, but instead can we just allow and accept, and maybe even this practice of just noticing, like, what's happening with me right now? I'm looking for the exact words that Tara Brach offers. She says, what's happening inside? What is happening inside me right now? And can I let this be, or can it be okay? So I'd love to hear from you all. What was that like to either hear the teachings or to talk about it with others? What was it like to, you know, articulate maybe some of your understandings or something? Would anybody like to comment, or can we bring the...
Okay, thank you. Something you mentioned that really resonated with me was the idea that whenever something bad or uncomfortable or whatever that causes us to suffer happens to us, that we do tend to prolong our suffering, right? Or create additional suffering by narrativizing the situation or avoiding facing the situation. And I was curious to hear from you a little bit about how we slowly build up that muscle to not avoid and to not narrativize, because oftentimes, you know, maybe I will, you know, attend like a guided meditation or something, and then I'll be a bit more on top of things for a little bit, but then, you know, inevitably slide back. So I guess from a practitioner's perspective, like how do you build up that momentum to have that be almost an automatic response to not do those things?
Mm-hmm. So it's perfectly natural, of course, to not want to feel uncomfortable. But this idea that Tara Brach is offering and that I'm offering here too, which I think is a good idea, is just throughout our day in simple ways, how am I feeling inside right now? Can this be okay? So we don't wait to practice until there's something terrible is happening and there's so much resistance. We just start with really simple things. Like maybe we just simply wish the temperature were a little bit different. How am I feeling right now? I'm feeling a little bit like, oh, I want this to be different. I want to change it. And then can it be okay? Can it be okay that you want it to be different? And maybe we could even be so far as, can having the temperature not be the way you want it be okay? or, you know, just really simple things. Just doing this repeatedly on really small things where the stakes are low, we absolutely practice there where it's easy. And that's how we do it. So that when the hard things come, we've already increased our capacity a little bit, and we've noticed that we can touch into discomfort or a sense of not being able to control things, and it's being okay. So,
thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one thing we talked about in our groups that like comes up a lot is the importance of, at least here, there's a Sangha, but just generally knowing that there's others. And so for me, like, I've tried to get better at if there is a fear coming up or some sort of resistance, being able to catch myself and thinking that it's just happening to me, and being able to imagine, like, oh, there must be others in a similar situation. And that sort of creates or brings me back to the sense of community. Like, this isn't just a one-off thing that is happening. And so there's a tendency to think that, but it goes back to the muscle. So going back to community helps.
Yeah. Thank you. Recognizing this kind of common humanity, like, oh yeah, humans do this. We're not the only one that's, sometimes it doesn't feel good to feel like, well, everybody's having it too. But sometimes it just to recognize, of course we have resistance to this. It's part of our biology, right? When there's something that's fearful, we want to avoid it. Yeah. For example. I will do Sveta, and then this will be our last one.
Yeah. So what I think was common for in our group, like what we shared, is that, you know, this kind of sense that it's, you know, not adding fuel to the fire, and recognizing that essentially it's our sense of unsafety or sense of, we talked a little bit about safety. And, you know, our system wants to protect us. It's usually when there's aversion or resistance underneath, there's maybe, you know, the body is trying to figure something out. Mm. And to honor it and respect and not to blame anybody, including yourself, gives some space and some softness, and things start dissipating, or maybe at least don't get worse. Hmm. That's what I think was
very nice.
We shared. Yeah.
Very nice. Thank you. Okay, so we're just a little bit after the top of the hour. So thank you all. Thank you all for your practice and for engaging in this way and talking to one another and exploring these ideas. It's a beautiful thing. I know for me, when I first came to practice, it made a huge difference to talk to people and realize, oh, you have that experience too. It was really helpful, really helpful. So thank you for your practice. I wish you a safe drive home, and may you have a lovely rest of the evening. Thank you. If you like, you're welcome to come up here and talk to me too.